Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. I just got off the radio with Michael Laws. I don't know if anybody's familiar with him in the States, but he's a prominent uber right winger, kind of he's like the Rush Limbaugh of New Zealand, I'd probably say. Yeah. And anyway, I just got off the radio with him not too long ago. He wanted to talk about the Occupy movement, or rather be informed about the Occupy movement. So I did my due diligence, and one of my listeners recommended I call up and explain to him what it's all about, kind of thing. And as I do, being the shameless self-promoter as I am, I plugged AmericanFreedomRadio.com. That's right, I plugged AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And he kind of was like, oh, I've never heard of you. Where are you? Who's plays you? And blah, blah, blah. Kind of like played this kind of, I don't know, this credibility game. Oh, I've never heard of you. Which I thought kind of distracting, because I just wanted to talk about the Occupy thing after giving myself a quick plug, you know. And we end up getting hung up on. Yeah. Mainstream media hung up on me. I'm so surprised. You know? Oh, the shock. Oh, just so unbelievable. Oh, just couldn't maintain my integrity on that particular phone call. But, in fact, I quickly recorded it, have uploaded it, and shall play it for you. Momentarily. Before I do, just the background of the Occupy Wall Street movement, and what I actually wanted to say about it was that, as Michael Laws was saying, that it's classically a left-wing thing. Okay, you know, I can see that side of it. He was kind of making fun of the fact that some homeless people and some people with alleged mental dementia have come into the Occupy camps and what have you, and the occupiers are taking care of them, and that was his stance, basically, that because there's homeless people and mentally ill people coming down to the Occupy movement, that signifies what all the rest of them are like. I thought that was a little bit of a dig there. But anyway, here we go.
Vinny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I'm well.
Well, I was told by one of my listeners that you were wanting to know a little bit about this Occupy protest, and I just want to kind of introduce myself. I'm Vinny Eastwood from AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I'll be going live at 11 a.m. Today if anybody wants to tune in talking about the Eurozone crisis. But
we don't even know who you are.
Well, this will be an interesting experience for you then.
Sorry, you're an American?
No, I'm a New Zealander, mate. As with the
what, working for an American radio station?
Yeah. I was picked up by an American radio station over a year and a half ago. I think it's because they like the accent, but it's 2 hours of talk radio a day, and we talk about the things that the, well,
who do you broadcast to?
Pardon?
Who do you broadcast to?
Broadcasting to 26 AM/FM stations in the United States, two in the UK, including Ireland, and one in Finland, Falcon Radio. And in New Zealand, we have Rush 89 FM in Hamilton and iFinity FM 87.7 in Invercargill. It's called the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
And never heard of them. But then, that's fair enough.
I suppose.
I mean, you wouldn't be expected by my reaction, I imagine.
Absolutely not, Michael. In fact,
So what part of the Occupy movement are you with?
I don't actually subscribe to be part of the Occupy movement per se. I stand apart, and I always have from every single movement that I cover. I've been going out.
Well,
with
then
the camera.
Why are you ringing me?
Well, because I have been
apart
there,
from
and
to
I
promote
am
a
involved
show that nobody's ever heard of.
I have been there. I have been involved with it. And if you go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla
Media.
I'm
not interested in your YouTube channel, Vinny. Goodbye. Go and self-promote somewhere else. I think this is the reason why we've got an objection to it.
And so there you go. For those of you who criticise my interview style, I can assure you, there's worse interviewers out there. And if you'd like to call in to comment on that, the number is 402-237-2525. And he said that basically what I did was just kind of indicative of why people hate the Occupy movement or what have you, even though I kind of said that I actually wasn't part of it. So let me just see if I've got this straight. I didn't represent the Occupy movement, okay? Never claimed to. I've reported for them heaps of my mates who I cover on this radio show and my YouTube videos and stuff are down there doing stuff and what have you. So I think that kind of qualifies me to be speaking from a position of, I don't know, at least being slightly more informed than the average person who goes, get a job. You know, the kind of zombified pickup truck driving, beer drinking, rugby watching type New Zealand public that we've come to expect from this sheep-ridden country. That's the kind of response that I wanted to kind of avoid. And obviously, I failed by plugging myself too much. But I did manage to steal their airwaves to plug A American Freedom Radio. Yes, that's guerrilla marketing, baby. At the very least, that's what I managed to accomplish. I could have accomplished a heck of a lot more if I just went in and just started talking about the Occupy movement. So, you know, in the long run, I think it's probably regrettable. However, he may have thought that what I did kind of put a stink on the whole Occupy movement. But I know for a fact that what he did makes us very, very much stinky with the entire mainstream media establishment. Because these are the types of jackasses that we have hosting radio mics in this country. Yep. Not terribly willing to listen. Not terribly willing to engage in proper ideology of any description. Deeper understanding is something that I feel is lacking very much in mainstream media. And I understand that I'm slightly hypocritical about this because I use them. You know, you can use mainstream media sources to make your points sometimes. You know, they do occasionally report the truth. But as I mentioned before, and as I'll probably have to mention many, many more times before people get it, is they don't connect the dots. They don't provide the context. That is, in fact, the most important part of reporting, as far as I'm concerned, being somebody with absolutely no journalistic training whatsoever. I just want to hear what's going on, why it's going on, and what's going to happen in future. Who's involved? You know, these are just basic ideas. I don't want to be interrupted and personally questioned or attacked or something when we're trying to talk about something else. You know, something that is absolutely, significant. Now, what I had planned to say on that radio appearance before I was kind of rudely hung up on was that the Occupy movement is a very multifaceted movement. It's not something that you can understand inside of 90 seconds of talk radio or in a 12-second sound bite. as mainstream media need it to be in order for their very, very, very small, insignificantly aspartamed, bubbling bottles of champagne, corroded brain pans to comprehend. So here it is. Talking about the left and the right. This is what people are kind of breaking down the sort of political struggle into. And the Occupy is all left, and anybody who's right wing just basically thinks they're a bunch of loons. Well, no. As with every complicated matter that the media discusses, they've oversimplified it. In actual fact, it is a combination of the left and the right that are down there. There are ACT Party supporters down there, allegedly, people who used to vote National, people who used to vote Labour. So it's a very multi-faceted, diverse group of people, okay? Some of them appear incredibly stereotypically communist, leftist, dreadlocked, unwashed, unshaven type individuals, as you will always get at virtually every protest, because that's what those people love to do. They love to go out and protest and have their voices heard and pose in front of the cameras so that their image can be used to demonize everybody else who went to the protest, who actually makes themselves look respectable. So here's the thing. We've got so many different points of view. And this is the interesting thing about the Occupy protest movement in general, is that it doesn't seem to have any clear direction. Here's why. The spectrum goes from hardcore communist, anti-capitalist, climate change believing, world government loving socialism, through to human rights respect, through to banking reform, through to environmental hazards like pesticides, herbicides, and the attack of organics. For example, in the United States, it is now lawful for organic food that is up to 10% contaminated with non-organic substances or GMO crops to still be labeled organic. Okay? There is the conspiracy theory movement, which has always been termed to be a minority. However, it kind of encompasses more of a majority benefit to its viewpoint. And that ties in mostly with the banking reform, because as we talk about the financial crisis, derivatives trades, market speculation, etc., these things are not being pulled off by a couple of idiots working for the World Bank or IMF or things of that nature. They're merely part of the grandiose scheme by international bankers who have had power over the issuance of currency for hundreds of years in England, or 100+ years, almost 100 years now in the United States, and have been proceeding to mold nations, mold the globe, mold super states as for the administrative convenience of themselves, so that they can establish an authoritarian, oppressive, fascist / communist, because they're both incidentally socialist, world government. And they do not play checkers. They don't play the game in a very simple methodology that the average person can comprehend without lots of backup research behind it. Now, here's another part of it. The conspiracy theory movement is very high on the agenda here in terms of the necessity for them to be showing up there and doing their things. But as most conspiracy theorists that I know, and I probably include myself in this, proudly call myself a conspiracy theorist because I'm not naive enough to think that absolutely everything on this planet happens by sheer blimmin' coincidence. That's what a conspiracy theorist is. Somebody who doesn't believe everything they're told and isn't stupid enough to believe every lie that gets spit out of the mouths of these serpentine, viper, gangster scum that wear suits and either are behind the cameras or in front of them, giving BS statements read directly off a teleprompter. This encompasses both the the political wing and the media wing and the business wing. These are three industries, incidentally, identified by the American Journal of Natural Medicine to be the three most likely industries that you will be able to find a concentration of psychopathic individuals, namely because it panders to the mind of the psychopath using the reptilian brain, the need for power, lust, sex, things of a very survivalist type of mentality. And that, I feel, is probably one of the biggest dangers that the Occupy movement itself is not addressing. Psychopathy, the issuance of currency, they have been talking about corruption, of course, but they never identify the source of the corruption. This is what really needs to be done. If anybody's going to make some decent change in this world, they need to realize, first of all, that it has never, throughout the entirety of history, been the vast majority of people that changed the way things run. It has indeed always been the small, determined minority that has made that happen. Think about that, and think about it very long and hard before concerning yourself with mass movements that basically don't seem to go anywhere. And I was supposed to have some kind of loyalty toward the Occupy some description, but you know, I don't have loyalty to any group, any person, or anything like that. My loyalty is basically just to the truth, and I'll criticize people and promote people at the same time. That's not hypocrisy. That's called balance and thinking for myself. And everybody else should practice that a little bit more, I think. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we, the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com. The official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid. thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, huh? So you're not too tired? Oh yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me.
Welcome
like,
back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the show that's all about business time in the dominatrix Strauss-Kahn sense of the word. My guest today is Albert Burgess, coming at us live from the Uber Kingdom. Albert, welcome to the show.
Hello there, Vinnie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, pleasure to be here again. And I would like just to kind of preface yourself, just for those who aren't familiar with you, just a little bit about your background, and then we'll continue on with the subject of today's show, which is, well, basically just to get an update about what you're on about. And I also wanted your perspectives on the Eurozone crisis with what's going on in Greece. So if you could just explain yourself a little bit for those who are unfamiliar first.
I'm not actually over familiar with the Eurozone crisis myself. I tend to stick to constitutional matters in this country. But as far as I can gather, the Greek Prime Minister is on and off, on and off, on and off about this referendum they promised the people. Hello? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, mate.
Yeah, about this referendum they promised the people. And I think with the hot tempers of the Greek people, he could be living dangerously if he doesn't give them one after having promised them one. But basically my main thing is to do with the English constitution and the crimes committed against it by the government in England. And we now got a terrific example, haven't we, of David Cameron attempting to change the Bill of Rights of 1689 to allow the Queen or the sovereign to marry a Catholic, which is a major constitutional law. And in fact, if the Queen gives this the royal assent, under English constitutional law, it is assumed that she is dead, and the next in line will be given the crown. So basically, it's something that she can't actually give the royal assent to. I have written to her and told her that and explained to her that if she does that, she's in effect signing her own death warrant, because she will immediately be removed from the throne And of course, if she's removed from the throne in England, she's removed from the throne in New Zealand and Canada and Australia and all of the other Commonwealth countries, because all of that lot depends upon her being Queen of England. And so this has very, very far-reaching effects. And what I would like to see is the people in Australia, Canada, and the other Commonwealth countries, New Zealand. I've actually sent a thing off to New Zealand this afternoon, this evening, to ask a man to spread my letter to the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police asking for the arrest of David Cameron on a charge of high treason, to actually get this done in all of the Commonwealth countries who agreed to these changes, because they simply don't have that right, because this is a contract. The Bill of Rights incorporates a Declaration of Rights, and the Declaration of Rights is actually a contract between the sovereign and the subject, and it is the terms under which we, the people of England, offer the crown of England to the King of England. And if the King breaches those terms, then in fact he's no longer complying with the terms he was offered the crown under. And as I say, it is as if he was dead. And what I'd like to see is the people all over the Commonwealth actually reporting their own prime ministers who agreed with this to their own police force and demanding their own arrest for a conspiracy to commit high treason.
Well, see, there's a problem there, Albert, because we've had Penny Bright, an activist here in New Zealand, report the Prime Minister for basically the political equivalent of insider training, trying to flush out commercially sensitive material to government companies which he owns shares in, from the Ombudsman. When she reported him to the police, the Ombudsman, the general authorities, they said, nah.
Yeah, well, that may be the case. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, there's a difference between normal criminal activity like insider trading or actually defrauding your bank of money so that you can, you know, get yourself a nice offshore account nicely set up, and actually committing treason against the sovereign, because all of your police officers, like all of our police officers, will actually swear an oath of allegiance to the sovereign. So their allegiance is not, or shouldn't be, to the government of the day. It certainly is not in England. I mean, certainly the police in the United Kingdom, their allegiance is not to the government of the day. It is to the sovereign, and their actual duty is to uphold the law to the best of their ability, without favour, fear, malice, or ill will, in the sovereign's name. So, you know, that's the thing. So, you know, I don't know what you think about that.
Well, see, I see the whole issue of having a monarchy at all to be a bad thing, because they hold so much power over your government. And people think that the monarchy is now just figurative. They don't have any power. They've had everything taken away from them. And the reality is just couldn't be further from the truth. Allegedly in Canada last year, the Queen dissolved Parliament there. And in New Zealand, there's been many cases reported where MPs have found out that the state intelligence services, at the behest of the Crown, have been keeping them under surveillance, even in their offices in Parliament and home, and have been surveilling them for very long times. So it seems as though hereditary dictators. That's basically all they are as far as I'm concerned. And we should throw the lot of them out. And I don't know, house all the homeless people that they've created in their enormous publicly funded palaces.
Well, if you look at what's happened in basically all of the countries around the world now, government have allowed the bankers to commit major fraud, because, you know, when all these banks went bust, they didn't go bust because there was no money around or there was no business. They went bust because the bankers were sorting all the money away that belonged to other people into their own personal bank accounts. And they're doing that by paying themselves exorbitant wages and exorbitant bonuses when they're not actually producing the results to justify it.
Wasn't didn't Prince Charles take like £24 million or something like that as some description of tithe from the public last year at a time in which his organic farm made a £12 million profit?
Well, yeah, but you see, you can't actually look at it like that, because the Duchy of Cornwall, which he is the Duke of Cornwall, the Duchy of Cornwall is extraordinarily wealthy, and the Crown Estates, if the Queen actually took the Crown Estates back from government and said, look, I will administer the Crown Estates myself, and all of the profits from the Crown Estates will go to my own personal bank account, then in point of fact, the Queen, in fact, would probably be hundreds of millions of pounds better off. But the fact is that she allows the government to administer the Crown Estates and take the profits. And out of those massive profits, and they are extremely high profits, because you can imagine that the real estate that the Queen owns is the best in the country. And it's worth a lot of money. And if you rent one of the flats in the Queen's property, then it costs you an arm and a leg to rent it. So there's a lot of money being made by the Crown Estates. This is all going into the public purse. And if you look at the amount of money which comes back from the public purse to the Queen, it's a mere pittance compared to what the Queen is actually donating to the country. And I believe that a little while ago, when there was a major financial crisis and everything was going tits up, the Queen made a personal donation of many millions of pounds to Tony Blair, to the Treasury, to actually get the country sorted out. So you can't actually look at this and say, well, you know, the Queen's worth X or Prince Charles is worth X or whatever. Because the actual amount that they actually get back from the proceeds of the royal estates is minimal compared to the amount which goes into the exchequer from the royal estates. And if
does that mean the royals actually make a lot of money for England?
They make a tremendous amount of money for England, not only through the profits from the Crown Estates, but through the fact that
Where does all that money go?
Well, their money is being squandered by government, isn't it? You know, it's being squandered and stolen by government. I mean, the British Parliament today, and I hate to say it, but it's a fact of life, the British Parliament today is worse than the Parliament in a third world banana republic. They think that they are fireproof. They think that they can steal our money with impunity. They think that they are not answerable to us. If you write to a member of parliament in England and you say to your member of parliament, look, I want you to do this, and he turns around, he'll say no. And you say, well, look, why not? I've just given you a petition with sort of 50,000 signatures on it. Why won't you do what 50,000 people who voted in this constituency want you to do? And he'll say, because once I'm in parliament, I do what I like.
A very Leninist point of view, don't they?
Well,
don't worry, comrades. Once we're in power, we will do what we want, and we just tell the people what they want to hear in the first place.
Yes. Well, you see, I mean, Parliament today. If you talk to your member of Parliament, the member of Parliament will tell you that Parliament is sovereign, and what they mean by Parliament is sovereign is the House of Commons is sovereign. Because the House of Commons has been on a power grab since 1661, when they told the House of Lords that they could not amend the money bill. Now, there is nothing in our constitution which gives the House of Commons that authority. And in point of fact, there is a very, very great deal in our constitution which says that the House of Commons does not have that authority. Each constituent part of Parliament, and it's made up of three parts. You have the sovereign, you have the House of Commons, who originate law, the House of Lords, who vet that law, amend it, repeal it, or reject it, amend it, pass it, or reject it, And then it goes to the sovereign, who says, yes, this is in the best interests of my people, or no, it isn't. And they give it the royal assent or not. Well, in 1910, Asquith put forward a money bill. That money bill was to give everybody a pension. Now, that's a good idea. But it meant that everybody in the country who was working would have to pay 3 pence in the pound extra income tax on top of the income tax they were already paying. Now, the House of Lords decided that this was too big a tax increase for the ordinary man who wasn't earning that much in 1910, don't forget, to actually be able to stand the tax bill. So they believing from this 1661 ruling, which has no force in law whatsoever, that they could not amend the money bill, they actually didn't amend it, they rejected it. And then Asquith went back to the House of Lords and told them he was putting through what became the Parliament Act of 1911, which would limit the powers of the House of Lords in order that they could only hold up a bill for a limited period of time. They couldn't refuse it, and eventually it would get passed. Well, the House of Lords said that they just simply wouldn't give it the assent from the House of Lords. They wouldn't sign the certificate. And Asquith said, well, in that case, I will put 500 new peers into the House of Lords, and they, in fact, will vote for the abolition of the House of Lords. So the House of Lords caved in. Now, it went to King Edward VII, and King Edward VII got hold of this thing, and he looked at it, and he said to Asquith, I'm not signing this. It is unconstitutional, and it removes a protection from my subjects. Well, shortly after that, Edward VII fell ill and died. I did actually write to the then Commissioner of Police and say that I'd be very interested in the post-mortem results on Edward VII, because being a policeman, I don't like those sorts of coincidences, and I'd be extraordinarily interested in the toxicology from a post-mortem on Edward VII. basically, I haven't had an acknowledgement from that, but then George V came to the throne. And he was met by a government minister. And don't forget, his father had just died, so he probably wasn't too switched on. And the government minister said to him, well, you keep all of your prerogatives, but you can't use any of them unless you have the backing of a government minister. Well, once again, there is absolutely nothing in our constitution that says that. And in fact, if you prevent the king from exercising his own conscience as to whether he gives the royal assent to a bill or not, you are in fact restraining the king, and to restrain the king was at the time treason.
Well, we'll have to get into more of this after the break, because treasonous things seem to be happening a lot of the time across our nations, across the world, and it is something that is very important and very real. You know, people seem to think that there's no such thing as conspiracy. Well, why do you think there's laws against conspiracy if there's no such thing? I mean, are there laws against leprechauns? No, there isn't. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance.
Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom. Freedom. American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Coming out on live on AM, FM bands all across America and the world. And I want to give a special shout out to the radio stations Rush FM in Hamilton and iFinity FM in Invercargill for picking up the show, as well as the great radio networks in the UK and Ireland, TNS Radio, and I forget the other one, Free Truth Radio as well. So my guest today is Albert Burgess, and he features heavily on the IC Radio Network, is it?
Well, I don't know. I've been on several radio stations. I think this is my second time on with you, and I've got one coming up with OIM Radio Ireland, where I'll probably be talking a bit more about the Irish Constitution than the English Constitution.
We had Alan and Steve on this show here yesterday.
Yeah. Well, they've got serious problems with their constitution because every single European treaty they've signed, they've amended their constitution to allow them to accept it, which means basically that every single European treaty has the force of constitutional law in Ireland, which is a bit of a bind because, you know, they've got to actually repeal their own constitution to get, because they've got so much constitutional law dealing with treaties with the European Union, that they're going to have to repeal a good third of their constitution probably to get out of the place. So they've got quite bad problems, really. So,
Don't we all? And as you said, it's a problem that stretches around the Commonwealth. And I have a few friends here in New Zealand who seem to think that the royals are all good. They do no wrong. They're the defenders of the faith, and we should get behind them because they're trying to solicit some description of freedom-esque type response to the New World Order takeover.
Can I actually come in on that one? Because there has been a concerted power grab by the House of Commons in England. Since, as I say, 1661, but up until 1714, when Queen Anne died, all of our monarchs, certainly in the early parts of our history, attended Parliament because you couldn't have a Parliament without the King there. But certainly later on, all of our monarchs attended probably not every session of Parliament, but certainly a considerable number of sessions of Parliament where they sat in the Lords. And they attended cabinet meetings because the cabinet was initially a Privy Council set up, which is separate to the Privy Council thing we have today. The original cabinet was originally the Privy Council, which is why cabinet ministers are on the Privy Council today. And after 1714, when Queen Anne died, and as I say, our kings and queens up until that time had attended Parliament and cabinet meetings on a regular basis. But King George I, when he came, was from Hanover in Germany, and he did not speak any English whatsoever. A bit of German quite well, or German very well, because he was German, and a little bit of Latin badly, but he spoke no English whatsoever. So he did not attend cabinet meetings and he did not attend Parliament because, frankly, it was a waste of time him going because he would not have understood a word that was said. So basically, for the entire period of his reign, Parliament were able to do it, or the House of Commons, basically, because they originate legislation, were able to do exactly what they liked. And then they would simply take bits of paper to him and say, sign here, which he would do. So he had no idea what the heck he was signing anyway. George II, he did speak English and he wanted to attend cabinet meetings and Parliament, but was told by the government of the day, which again, the government of the day came from the Commons, that he couldn't do that because it wasn't the done thing to do. And he spent his entire reign complaining that his ministers were kings in his kingdom. George III spent a 20-year battle with the House of Commons as to who was actually sovereign. And there was a vote in the House of Commons on this. And after a speech by Pitt the Elder, George III won the vote and it was decided that sovereignty resided with the king and only with the king. But he only won that vote by one vote. Now, today, Queen Elizabeth, if we had that vote in the House of Commons today, Queen Elizabeth would be lucky to get one vote. Now, what Parliament have done consistently is they have usurped the royal authority, which in fact is a treason. And what they have done is they have ensured that what they do is not challenged at all. by virtue of the fact that since King George V came to the throne, they have always told every monarch that's come along, that's George V, Edward VIII, who, in my opinion, would not have made a good king anyway, and George VI, who did make a very good king, and Queen Elizabeth, that they actually have no authority to do everything, and all the authority lies with the House of Commons, and that they are, as a constitutional monarch, they have to do what they're told. Now, one of the lies that the Commons tell about this is that the royal assent is automatic and has never been refused since Queen Anne in her militia bill over the militia bill in 1707. Now, that's actually entirely untrue. They put a bill through before Queen Elizabeth to deal with homosexuality, and that included lesbianism. But Queen Victoria did not believe that women could get themselves involved in lesbian activity. So she refused to sign the bill until such time as all references to lesbianism were removed. So she, in fact, had refused the assent to the bill as it was and had it amended. She also had a habit of actually, when she found a bill that she didn't like, she would simply say, the Queen will consider it, shift it to one side of her desk, and it would eventually find its way into her waste paper bin. So she actually refused the assent on any number of occasions. And we know that Edward VII refused the assent to the Parliament Act on the grounds that it was unconstitutional and removed the protection from his people. So when Parliament tell us and the government tell us that there has been no refusal of the royal assent since 1707, that is an outright lie. And if anybody knows it's an outright lie, I mean, if I can find out that it's an outright lie, then government, who have all of the official records, will know it is an outright lie. But still they push it, and they push it in order that they can contain, they can do whatever they like. The government of the day can do whatever they like. Now, one of the things that the Declaration of Rights says, and in fact the Bill of Rights, which incorporates the Declaration of Rights, says, is that all votes in the House must be free. All of the business of the House of Commons and the House of Parliament must be free. That means that you can't challenge them anywhere else. Now, with the voting system that they have in the Houses, since we've had political parties in the Houses, when we had independent MPs, we didn't have this problem. When they invented political parties and they went for the whipping system, what they were doing was they were saying to all of their MPs, the government want to do this, so you will vote in favour. And if the MP said, well, no, I don't agree with it, I think it's actually a bad move, then they would turn around and say, the whips would turn around and say to the MP, well, look, you know, if you ever want to be a government minister, then you've got to comply and play ball with government, so you have to vote in favour. And if the man said, well, you know, okay, fine, but I'm not really interested in being a government minister, then they'd come back and they'd say something like, well, okay, does your wife know that you're having an affair with your secretary? Yeah. And they would use blackmail and coercion to do that. Well, of course, blackmail and coercion are illegal. They are crimes. And when you actually force somebody to vote the way that you want them to vote under duress, then in point of fact, what you've not got is you haven't got a free parliament, have you? You simply don't have it. And that is contrary to the terms of the Declaration and Bill of Rights of 1689, which is actually a remarkably sensible piece of legislation, far more sensible than...
What I find very difficult about government is that if they want to commit crimes, they simply pass laws that make those crimes not crimes anymore, and they continue to commit them until people take a stand and make a freaking difference in the equation and point out what's actually happening here. This is the real problem.
What we've had, right, we've had a succession of things that have happened in Parliament. The first thing they did was they repealed the death penalty for murder.
Okay, and we'll have to talk about more of this after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, the streams are now open, I am told, so check us out at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, americanfreedomradio.com. You can also join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. So we'll be back in a moment.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number 2 of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the exposingest, corruptinest, fabulousness of the Vinnie Eastwood Show for your listening pleasure.
My guest today is the miraculously fabulous Albert Burgess. And he's been coughing up a little bit. It's because he's a French polisher. And occasionally, in the workshop, you can suffer the danger of accidentally inhaling toxic chemicals, which may plague you from time to time with various signs of disease. And he's going to go to the doctor, but he's not going to be leaving us just yet. Albert, welcome back. We started talking before the break about, what was it we were talking about? Oh, yes, politicians, right? When you go and ask them a question, they don't answer it. And no, they say, I don't have to answer it, you know. I'm the Member of Parliament. And they're like, no, that's right. You are the Member of Parliament, which means you shouldn't do what you want to do. You should do what we want you to do, because we're the bastards who put you there.
And pay you.
Couldn't we just dock their pay for each unanswered question? Oh, that's a $400 fine.
Well, you see, the point is that the House of Commons, certainly in England, the House of Commons has got this idea that they are sovereign. They are sovereign because we elect them to Parliament, and they say that when we elect them to Parliament, we transfer our sovereignty to them to exercise how they like. This is just not true. When we crown a king or a queen in England, we transfer our individual sovereignty to that king or queen in order that they can administer that sovereignty on our behalf and only ever in our best interests. And when kings in England have decided that they can do what they like, they have in the past invariably been removed, normally quite painfully. King Edward II was actually removed and forced to abdicate in favour of his son, and he was then taken away to Berkeley Castle, where they killed him by shoving a red-hot poker up his back passage because they didn't want to leave any exterior injuries which were visible. A lady that I knew who is unfortunately she's dead now, but she went to Berkeley Castle, and she's a bit psychic, and she said you could hear the most blood-curdling screams from the castle. So we have this habit of removing our kings. King Charles I, we removed him from the throne, and we removed his head. Because he felt that he didn't have to rule us in the way that we wanted to be ruled. And this is something that we in England have done throughout our history.
But isn't there an irony there? It's like the mere fact that anybody wants to be ruled opens up for that kind of thing to happen.
Well, no, because, I mean, basically... what you have to have is you need somebody in charge. It doesn't matter whether it's in a factory, a school, a hospital. There has to be someone where the buck stops who can take the decisions. And we, in fact, entrust those decisions to a crowned head. We do that here. You do that in New Zealand. But the day-to-day running of the country is done by a parliament. And I look upon Parliament as a housewife, really. I go to work every week. I come home at the weekend. I hand my wife my pay packet and say, there you are, darling. And then she pays all of the bills and buys the food and makes sure the children have got clothes and pens and pencils for school and all the rest of it. And hopefully manages to save some so we can have a holiday. And Parliament is exactly the same. But my wife sure as hell doesn't have the right to give the house away while I'm not there, nor does she have the right to do certain things with my children that I wouldn't approve of, because these need to be sorted out. Our parliament, they collect our taxes in exactly the same way that the wife takes your wages off of you, and then they disperse those taxes in a way which should only ever be in our best interests. Unfortunately, because the House of Commons has got this idea that they are sovereign, when in fact they are not, the king is sovereign, or in this case, Queen Elizabeth is sovereign. But because they got this idea that they are sovereign, they feel they can do whatever they like, and they are not answerable to anybody about what they do. And when they got caught with a hand in the till, stealing our money by claiming expenses that they weren't entitled to,
like a moat.
Well, yeah, like a moat, but more obviously than the moat. The man Morley, I believe his name was, who claimed £16,800 as payments for a mortgage that he didn't have, and then when he got caught with his hand in the till, he turned around and he says, "Well, you know, this in fact is you know, it's a mistake. I didn't realise I didn't have a mortgage." Now, let's be fair about this. The biggest expenditure that anybody makes in their life is to buy a house. And you simply, every day that you're paying your mortgage, you're watching it hopefully come down until eventually you can go there and you can pick up the deeds of your house after paying the last payment, and you go, whoopee-doo, now the house is mine. You can't possibly not know that you don't have a mortgage, you know, or that you do have a mortgage or don't have a mortgage. That is indelibly imprinted on your brain from the minute you take out that mortgage. And you know, so the man obviously is an out-and-out crook and was sent to prison for it. But then you see you get other people who in authority, and we have a police chief over here called John Yates. Now, John Yates is travelling, or was travelling the world. He was one of our police chiefs, but he was travelling the world to Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and all over the shop at public expense to attend conferences on policing on terrorism. Now, there's no problem on that, apart from the fact that it's not necessary, because you could do it like we're doing it over Skype, can't you? You know? You just have a conference call over Skype or whatever other system you want to use. But he's travelling the world, and because he's travelling as assistant commissioner, the Metropolitan Police, so he travels business class and gets double air miles. Now, the Metropolitan Police rules are that those air miles must be used to offset the cost of future police travel. Now, that's quite a sensible rule. It saves money for the taxpayer. John Yates had left his wife of 25 years, was shacked up with a woman who is 30-ish. He's in his 50s. She's 30. And basically, I married a woman 20 years younger than me. I know that they are not bloody cheap. They cost you a lot of money because, you know, they have to have something for putting up with an old git like me. So basically, they're not cheap to run. So when his children wanted him to help them out with their holidays, he actually paid for their airline tickets in large part with the police's air miles. Now the newspaper said, "Oh, John Yates is boob." But in fact, what it is, it's a real crime, and it's what is known as fraudulent misappropriation of air miles, which equals taxpayers' money. Now, when John Yates had this pointed out to him that he'd spent these air miles, as far as we were able to gather, he suddenly he said, well, he hadn't realised it was an offence. Now, here we have an assistant commissioner of the Metropolitan Police who had, in fact, years of experience as a police officer. He had attained one of the top jobs in the country. He was the head of serious and organised crime. He headed up the inquiry into the fraudulent expenses claims in the House of Commons, and yet he was not aware that what he was doing was a crime called fraudulent misappropriation of air miles, which equals taxpayers' money. It is rubbish. Now, nobody, in fact, was going to do anything about that. So I reported John Yates to the Metropolitan Police for the criminal offence of fraudulent misappropriation of air miles. And I got a letter back telling me from the Metropolitan Police Authority that they do agree I am a member of the public, but I didn't witness the crime and I'm not a victim of the crime. And therefore, my complaint is not a complaint. Well, my complaint wasn't a complaint. It was a serious allegation of crime. And I wrote back to them and I said to them, every single taxpayer in this country is a victim of this crime. Individually,
so let me get this straight. Somebody mugs an old woman on the street, steals her handbag, gets a few hundred quid. That guy goes to jail 6 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody mugs the entire country at the same time and makes off with a couple hundred thousand quid. That's okay, just as long as he didn't know he was doing it.
Well, absolutely. And so I said to them, you know, every single person in the country is a victim of this crime. Individually, not a great deal, but collectively, not a small amount either. And fraud, by its very definition, is a crime which people don't witness. And what you, if we use your definition of when to investigate fraud, the bank manager who defrauds his bank of £100,000 will never be convicted or prosecuted even because nobody saw him do it. Whereas the man who removes £5,000 from the same bank at the point of a shotgun, he will be convicted because there are witnesses who saw him do it. That's neither logical nor sensible, and it certainly isn't legal. You know, you prosecute your fraudulent bank manager, just like you should prosecute your fraudulent policeman who has stolen taxpayers' money, because that's what it amounted to. If John Yates, he had agreed that he would pay this money back, but, you know, as I pointed out, if John Yates had walked into a bank that was being robbed and said, hold on, fellas, I am a policeman, and they turned around and said, okay, well, this has been a terrible mistake, we'll put the money back, do you really think John Yates is going to allow those people to walk out of that bank and go home to their wives and girlfriends? Of course he isn't. He's going to arrest them and charge them with armed robbery. There seems to be one law for them and another for the rest of us. And I'm a great believer, having been a police officer, that there is one law that is for everyone. And it doesn't matter whether you happen to be an assistant commissioner of police or a dustman. If you break the law, a police officer should arrest you and charge you for it.
And not to mention the fact that justice should also be applied equally to the, basically to the extent of the crime, you know. Here we have people who are running away with, as I mentioned, like a lady's handbag or something like that, being forced onto the ground, hands bound behind their back, pepper sprayed, clubbed, and then tossed in the back of a police car and winding up spending several years in jail. And then you have the Bernie Madoff types and what have you, who are respectfully handcuffed and do the little perp walk down to the nice, lush, waiting, gargantuan SUV with flashing lights all over it, where he gets to stay in abject luxury, and when he comes into the prison system, is treated like a celebrity welcome parade of some description. It just doesn't equate when somebody's stealing billions of dollars.
We had my reason for joining the police force was because there was a man called PC Blakelock, and PC Blakelock was at the Tottenham riots at Broadwater Farm. He was actually cut off and was murdered, and there, a group of people stabbed him very many times. And they were planning to actually cut his head off and parade it round on a spike. That's the reason I joined the police force in the first place. Now, the man that the police believed was responsible for that crime was a guy called Winston Silcott. And when the police were investigating, everybody in Broadwater Farm was saying, yes, it was Silcott. He organised the whole thing. But when you asked them to put pen to paper and make a statement and go to court and give evidence, they said no, because if we do that, his gang will kill us. So Winston Silcott, he was prosecuted. Then he was released from jail. And then, to add insult to injury, the Metropolitan Police gave him a job. after the murder of one of their own officers. And, you know, I cannot understand why these things happen. But they do, and they are done for political reasons, and the police force should not be political. The reason that our politicians don't get arrested, and let's go back to the expenses scandal at the House of Commons, there were over 300 members of Parliament where there was evidence, very good evidence, that those 300 members of Parliament had defrauded the country by claiming expenses they weren't entitled to. Not a single person was arrested by John Yates's team. Then there was a massive public outcry. I have never in my life witnessed such a public outcry as occurred in the United Kingdom over that. And then John Yates's team went out and they made what I refer to as five specimen arrests. Instead of going out and arresting all 310 people who had actually stolen our money, they actually only arrested five. Now, all five of those were convicted and sent to prison, I believe. But the fact of the matter is, they only arrested a specimen five. And the reason for
patsies.
That...
patsies. That's what always happens. Patsies. Yeah,
that's right. And the reason for that is because our senior police officers are, in fact, very, very definitely under the political thumb. And they shouldn't be. And, you know, if these things had happened 100 years ago, every single one of those members of Parliament would have been arrested by our police, because our police, 100 years ago, did the job they were there to do, and it didn't matter who. A friend of mine, he arrested the DPP, was a police sergeant, for curb crawling. And he arrested the DPP, and when the man said to him, he said, "You know who I am?" And he said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, I'm the DPP." And he said, "Well, you're the Nick DPP now. Get in the car." and he was arrested for curb crawling.
Well, that's a nice positive note to leave this segment on. My very special guest is Albert Burgess, an expert on curb crawling and coughing, as it turns out. And we'll be right back after this little break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with used potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And it feels so good to be alive and on top.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. And what I think you've got to really do, ladies and gentlemen, is check out GuerrillaMedia.co.nz because there are some spectacular articles. In fact, I let people contribute to the website whenever they want to, you know, often people who haven't written articles before, and I talk to them on Skype, and they're just, wow, really amazing. They got great thoughts and what have you. So just give them a contributor account, see what they can do, and lo and behold, they come up with incredible stuff that actually makes you think. My very special guest today is Albert Burgess. You know that kind of Bobby on the beat police officer? You all kind of hear that alleged myth about, you know, he's on the side of the good people. He faces down corruption at every turn. He's good. He's honest. He's decent. He doesn't batten innocent protesters and whatnot. And in fact, arrest the people who would do that for absolutely no reason, who would break the law within their own ranks and kind of stuff like that. That mythical creature. That's Albert Burgess. Now retired. Welcome back.
Thank you kindly. I've said for a long time that the problem today with the police service is we don't have a problem finding a policeman to remove a 12-inch knife from a six-foot-six-inch drunk. That's not a problem. Where we have the problem is finding a police officer who is conducting an inquiry that he's actually stumbled over a crime and is investigating that crime, who will then, when his chief superintendent says to him, look, you know, you're not to investigate this, it's, you know, it's this, it's that or the other, whatever reason, you're not going to investigate it. The problem is finding a policeman with the moral courage to actually say to his chief superintendent, I am investigating a crime. If you attempt to prevent me carrying out that investigation, that is the criminal offence of obstructing an officer in the execution of his duty. And if you attempt to stop me in carrying out my inquiry, I will arrest you for that offence and you will end up in a cell. And policemen don't do that. Now, I've done that. I did that to an inspector. And it's very gratifying to see an inspector backpedaling so fast, faster than he's ever backpedaled in his life. Because if he gets arrested, of course, if he gets convicted, then he's going to lose his pension. The other problem with policemen is that you get policemen and they make a really good arrest, bang to rights arrest, and then the Crown Prosecution Service in England, and probably you'll find that your police have the same problem with your prosecuting authority out there, decide that they are not going to prosecute. And then all that work that the policeman's put in, everything that's there, in fact, is wasted. And I had that. I mean, I arrested a drink driver one night, and he blew 135 on the big machine, which is quite a lot. And when we name checked him, he was currently serving a 5-year ban and a 10-year ban for drink drive. He was wanted on a warrant for failing to appear in court on another drink drive. And he had a 20-year history of flagrant disregard of the Road Traffic Act. So you can imagine my surprise when a couple of weeks later I got a Billy Doo from the Crown Prosecution Service telling me that they weren't putting it in court, into a court. So I phoned them up and I said to them, can you explain to me why you're doing this? And they said, well, it's got nothing to do with you. And I said, well, actually, it's everything to do with me. I am the arresting officer. And I'd like to know your reasoning here. And they said, well, we're not going to tell you. And I said, well, look, the reason I'm asking, if it's anything to do with my paperwork, I need to find out what it is so that I don't do it again. Can you please tell me why you've taken this decision not to go to court on this? And they said, well, we refuse to tell you. So at which point I said, I have a system with my children. I ask them nicely to do something. If they don't do it, I tell them to do it. If they still don't do it, I count to three. If I get to three, they get smacked arse and sent to bed. I said, now, I've already asked you nicely to tell me. I'm shortly going to tell you to tell me. If I get to three, I'm coming down to your offices. I'll find out who made that decision, and I'm going to arrest them for perverting the course of justice. And they said, but you can't do that. We're the Crown Prosecution Service. And I said, well, you're not above the law. And they said, well, it won't make any difference because none of our other solicitors will process that case. I said, well, in that case, I will come down and I will arrest whoever is not processing it and I'll keep on arresting you till I've got every last one of you in my cells. And then because there are no Crown Prosecution Service solicitors, I will have to prosecute you myself. And I am very good at what I do, so you are all going to be found guilty. When you are found guilty, you are going to be sent to prison for perverting the course of justice, and you will be struck off the solicitor's list and will be unable to practice. Tell me now. And they said to me, but you can't. And I said, one. And they said, but we're the Crown Prosecution Service. And I said, two. And they came back and they said, hold on a minute, hold on. And then they came back and... They came back and they said, well, we've reconsidered and we're going to send it to court. And the man was sent to prison. And and you see, if you're a policeman, certainly a police officer in England, you have actually got tremendous authority under the law. And people don't realise, even most police officers don't realise, just how much authority under the law they have. And I said to a chief inspector once when I was reporting the treason of the Heath government, and I'd retired from the police force by then, and he said, well, the reason they're not going to do anything about it is because if they got a conviction against anybody who worked with Ted Heath, which they probably could on the evidence I had supplied, they would then have to go out and arrest every government minister for the last 35 years and charge them with treason. And that they weren't prepared to do. And I said to him, well, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, if you were to walk outside my front door and ask the first 1,000 of police people who walk past, do you mind if I arrest a government minister or 10? I doubt if you'll find 1 out of 1,000 who says, no, for God's sake, don't do it, because there's nobody in this country thinks they earn the money we pay them. And I said to him, I wish to God I had a warrant card. And he said, why? And I said, well, Douglas Hurd would currently be sat in a cell waiting for me to decide if I'd drunk enough tea and eaten enough sticky buns to go and interview him. And he said to me, well, you'd be in trouble then, wouldn't you? And I said, why? And he said, well, because you wouldn't be doing what you were told. And I said, well, that's probably true, but why would I be in trouble? And he said, well, you wouldn't be obeying the orders of your senior officers. I said, no, I wouldn't, but why would I be in trouble? And he said, well, I've just told you, you wouldn't be doing what your senior officers told you. I said, no, you missed the point. Any senior officer who told me that would be in the cell next to Douglas Hurd, charged with obstructing an officer in the execution of his duty to detect offences. And I would go on arresting senior officers till I was the highest ranking policeman in the country. And there is nothing you can do about it, because that is what the law says I can do. And that is exactly what the law says a constable can do. And, but what you have to have is a constable with the moral courage to actually do it. You know,
you do have to have a pair.
Well, you do. And, you know,
you have to have, interestingly enough, a strong constitution.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I can just tell you a story about a friend of mine who actually changed the law. If somebody is dying as a result of an attack, and that they are seriously injured and they are dying, you are supposed to say to them, are you aware that you are dying and have you given up all hopes of survival? And if they say yes to both those questions, anything they say after that is what's considered to be a deathbed statement. And because they actually assume that people will not lie if they know they are dying, because they know they're going to have to meet their maker, and they don't want to go there with a lie on their lips when they die, they will always tell you the truth. Now, I'm not at all sure that that's the case, because there are some pretty evil people out there who would stand before the Almighty and lie to him personally. But my friend went to a disturbance, and they opened the lift door to go up in the lift in this house, and there was a woman lying in the bottom of the lift with a claw hammer stuck in the top of her head, and she's covered in blood. And he said to her, don't worry, darling, we'll get the ambulance on the way. You are going to be fine. I'm a police officer. You are going to be fine. And, of course, they got her shot off to hospital, and he said to her, have you any idea who did this to you? Now, it's a sad but true fact that every lunatic in this world is called Albert. And she said, yes, it was my husband, Albert. So they went away. They got her shot off to the hospital. And when they'd sorted her out, they went and picked up Albert, and he was charged with attempted murder. When it went to the court, number one court, the Old Bailey, the barrister came over and said, look, we're dropping the case because the only witness we have is her. And because of the injuries to her head, she's in fact unable to remember what happened. So he said, well, I want to give my evidence as a deathbed statement. And the barrister said to him, did you say to her, are you aware that you're dying and have you given up all hopes of survival? And of course, he said, no, of course not. My first aid training says I have to reassure the victim, not frighten them to death. So the barrister said, well, you can't give your evidence. So he said, I want to see the judge. So they asked the judge, and don't forget, it's the Old Bailey. You got top judges at the Old Bailey. And they asked the judge if he would see the policeman, and the judge said no. So my friend Andy said to the clerk of the court, the judge has obviously misunderstood what I have said. Will you tell the judge that I want to see him? Now, he has two choices. He can either open the door and invite me in, or he can stand well back while I kick it off its hinges. So the judge agreed to see him, and he walked in, and he said to him, right, officer, he said, now make it good, because if you don't, you're out of a job tomorrow. I'm not used to having police officers tell me they're going to kick my office door down. So he said to him, I want to give my evidence as a deathbed statement. So the judge said, well, did you say to the lady, have you given up all hopes of survival and are you aware that you're dying? And he said, well, no, of course not. My first aid training says I have to reassure the victim. But I have been a police officer for over 20 years and I believed she was dying. And from the look in her eyes, I believed she was dying. So the judge sat there with his fingers on his chin on his fingers and his elbows on the desk for 10 minutes and never said a word. And then he said to my friend, you've still got a job, officer. You can give your evidence as a deathbed statement. And Albert got 9 years inside for attempted murder. On that day, my friend Andrew changed the law of England because he had a pair. And he believed that it was right that he should give his evidence as a deathbed statement. And he believed it was essential to justice that that should happen. And he was prepared to risk his entire career and his pension, because don't forget he'd been a policeman over 20-odd years, and his pension in order that he could get the right result for the lady. And I mean, basically, isn't that the sort of policeman you want on your side?
Well, this is the this wouldn't by chance be the majority of police officers who have that kind of strength of purpose and honour, dignity, respect, and what have you. Because there are a lot of them who follow not the law, but their orders.
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, I have friends who are still serving in the police force. And I was talking to one of them last week, and I said to him about what I'm doing with the treason and all that, and that I wanted David Cameron arrested and why I wanted him arrested. And I gave him the reasons and I gave him the law. And I said, I want him arrested. He said, oh, I couldn't do that. And I said, why not? And he said, well, he's the prime minister. And I said, well, so what? And he said, well, I couldn't arrest the prime minister. You know, you'd get into trouble for that. And I said, look, this is not a question of whether you get into trouble with it or not. You took the same oath that I took, which is that you would carry out the duties of the office of constable to the best of your ability without fear, favour, fear, malice or ill will. Now, that's the oath you took before God and to your queen. Now, unless you're prepared to honour that oath and go out and actually arrest David Cameron, you cannot claim to have any honour whatsoever. And this is the problem, that people are so concerned about the fact that somebody is in a superior position to them, that, you know, they are nervous about arresting somebody who happens to be a politician, happens to be a police senior police officer, happens to be a judge, you know. and so they actually... apologize for this, but they actually don't have the bottle to actually carry out the job in the way that they promised on with their oath to do.
Well, there's the problem and the crux right there. People should do what they say they're going to do. The reason why society seems to be so screwed up and everything going wrong and people not understanding what's going on is because it's almost impossible to understand everything if everybody's lying about it and not standing up behind what they actually mean, what they actually say. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, microbes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR!
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to the Ron Paul Revolution Radio Show with Rossi and Brocky. Join the revolution on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, and only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I have an announcement to give out. I will be speaking at the David Icke event in New Zealand this Sunday, which will be held at the Telstra Clare Pacific Event Centre. I believe it's called the Genesis Theatre. And there will be no more ticket sales. I've just received word in from the organisers that the ticket sales at the door are now off. And if you want to have any opportunity to see David Icke live in New Zealand, you have to go to thelionsleepsnomoretour.com. That's thelionsleepsnomoretour.com and purchase your ticket there. And also, even better news than that, David will also be getting interviewed by David Farrier, who's one of the most sarcastic reporters that we have in mainstream media in this country. And he will be interviewed tonight on Television 3, I believe. TV 3. So you'll be watching the news either late night, starting at 10:30, or in the evening news, starting at 6. So it will be interesting to see that happening. And I just needed to remind everybody that in New Zealand, oh, mate, I think David Icke's never come here before. And there's a lot of excitement out there about it, and it is going to be pretty awesome to actually be on the stage with him. Personally, I think that's just freaking marvellous, and I'm quite happy. My guest today is Albert Burgess, the Batman of the London Constabulary, and he striking fear into the hearts of corrupt gangsters that happen to be wearing judges' robes.
Well, yeah. Can I just say that I think most judges are not corrupt. I think that you know, it's very. I mean, I talked to a lot of people who say, of course, I went to court and I had this, you know, I lost and I had this really corrupt judge. And I say to them, well, who presented your case for you? And they say, well, I did it myself. And I say, well, you know, there is a saying in the legal profession that the lawyer who defends himself has got a fall for a client. Now, if a lawyer who defends himself is a fool, then in point of fact, how much more of a fool are you if you don't use a lawyer and you try and do it yourself when, in fact, you don't know the law? And this is the problem. I mean, I don't know if you know that the if you heard about the arrest of the judge in Birkenhead. Did you hear about that?
I heard of it, but not the details. If you could fill me in, I'm much obliged.
Roger Hayes was interested in avoiding his council tax, and he asked the judge if he would give his oath in court, and the judge said no. And then Roger Hayes immediately ordered the arrest of the judge, and two people rushed forward to try and arrest the judge. The judge actually slipped out the back because one of the people bounced off a policewoman and knocked her off her feet. Was promptly arrested for violent disorder, and the other one tried to get him away from the police, so he was promptly arrested as well. And as I say, the judge walked out the back door, so he was never actually arrested, which was fortunate, because it is the law in this country that you cannot arrest a sitting judge unless you are prepared to arrest him for high treason. Now, the reason for that is quite simple, and it is that the judge, when he is sitting, is actually representing the Queen in her law-giving capacity. And that's why if you actually pull out a gun and shoot a judge who is sitting, you are not charged with murder, you are charged with high treason. Because the judge is sitting there in his capacity representing the Queen, and to all intents and purposes, the judge is the Queen at that time. So if you then attempt to arrest a judge, you're actually restraining the judge. Now, to restrain a judge was treason under the 1795, or to restrain the sovereign was treason under the 1795 Treason Act, which Tony Blair repealed. But nevertheless, if you repeal the 1795 Treason Act, so that's out of the way, then undoubtedly the 1351 Treason Act will kick in. And you get arrested for treason for attempting to restrain the judge. So it's quite fortunate that the judge actually wasn't physically arrested, because he had if he had done, a pile of muck would have landed on the people who were doing the arrest and Roger ordered the arrest, which would be so deep they'd be highly unlikely ever to get themselves out of it again, because this is major, major crime. Now, the problem is that a lot of people talk about the law and a lot of people quote the law, particularly a lot of people in the Free Man on the Land movement. But what they do not do is they do not know the law. They don't understand the law. And it's like they talk about all courts in the country are admiralty courts and they are doing corporate law. Well, that's a nonsense. They're not. What they are mistaking is the fact that if you go to somewhere like Liverpool, Southampton or anywhere like that, you will find that what it says on the outside of the court building is Liverpool Crown Court, Liverpool Admiralty Court. Now, at one stage, because there we had a very large merchant fleet, there was lots of work to keep an Admiralty Court busy in a separate building all of their own. But when the merchant fleet shrunk, as it has done, the work dried up. So basically what they decided to do was that they would take some Crown Court judges and they would train them in Admiralty law. And then whenever an Admiralty case came in, say two ships collided at sea, an Admiralty case came in and needed to be dealt with by the Admiralty Court, that Crown Court judge would be appointed as the Admiralty Court judge for the day or for the length of the trial. And then he would sit as an Admiralty Court judge. And the court that he sat in, which yesterday was a Crown Court, would be today an Admiralty Court. And tomorrow again, once the Admiralty case is heard of, it will go back to being an ordinary Crown Court and he will go back to being an ordinary Crown Court judge. So it's something that people don't understand how it works. So they see Admiralty Court on the same building as it says Liverpool Crown Court, and they automatically believe that every case heard in that courthouse is going to be an Admiralty Court case, which is by and large they're right, corporate law, because it deals with people losing money either by the collisions of ships or the losses of cargoes or something like that. So that's a mistake that they make, but too many people in the Freeman movement are going around perpetuating that mistake. And it doesn't matter how often you explain it to them, and I have tried to explain it to them, they do not change their minds. And they are going around and they're telling people that these things occur. And, of course, people are getting into lots of trouble. And, you know, one of the things they tell people is if you're stopped in your car by a policeman and he asks you for your name, you're not to tell him your name, because if you give him your name, you're entering into a contract with him. And then he will own you and he can do what he likes with you. Now, I've stopped a few cars with a few really good-looking girls in that I really would have liked to do an awful lot of things with. But I never owned them and I never actually was in a position to own them. And I certainly didn't consider I was entering into a contract with them. I stopped them because they'd committed a motoring offence of some kind. And all I was interested in finding out was, is it their car? Do they have a license to drive it? Is it tax insured and MOT'd? And why did you just run that set of red lights? And basically, that's all any policeman wants to know. And so this idea that you don't give them your name because you don't want to enter a contract with them is actually resulting in people being arrested for obstructing an officer in the execution of their duty. Which means, in fact, what's going to happen is that the policeman's going to justify that arrest. So he's going to report you for the original offence, which let's say was jumping a red light. He's going to report you for that, which had you given him your name, the very worst he was going to do was give you a £60 fixed penalty ticket with 3 points on your licence, which you can contest in court if you want to. But now you're going to be dealt with by the court for jumping the red light. So the points on your license are going to go up to a minimum of 4 and probably 6. The fine is going to go from £60 probably to £180. And you're then going to get done for obstructing a policeman. Now, the courts don't like people to obstruct policemen, so the fine for that is going to be in the £300 to £400 bracket. But none of that matters. Because in a couple of years, you'll get your points back, and in a few weeks, you'll have forgotten about the money. What matters now is the fact that obstructing an officer in the execution of his duty is a criminal offence, and you will get a criminal record.
and that will stay with you for the rest of your life. So if, in fact, you apply for a job in an old people's home, in a school, a children's home, an accountant's, a bank, a solicitor's, you ain't going to get it because you've got a criminal record, and that will stay with you for the rest of your life.
Indeed, and I think that's a good spot to leave it on. Thank you very much, Albert, for giving us that insight here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and definitely we'll have you up again at a later date if it's at your convenience. And I hope you feel better, mate, because that cough is just rancid.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's been driving me mad for 2 weeks, and I'd love to come back on. I would love to come back on at some stage.
All right. Love to have you back on as well. Okay. Thank you very much. And we'll send you the archives for this so you can spread it around your website and all of that kind of stuff. And those archives will be up at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and GorillaMedia.co.nz if you missed the first half of today's show because the live streams were down. So we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.